Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update on veterans' homelessness in Minnesota, talk to our Red Bull soldiers in Kuwait, and check in with our County Veteran Service Officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
First observed in 1950, Armed Forces Day has become an annual opportunity for our nation to celebrate the service and sacrifices made by our more than 2 million women and men in uniform today. Today, with our service members making up less than 1% of our population, it can be easy to forget that those that wear the uniform live, work, and serve amongst us right here in Minnesota. This week, I invite you and all of my fellow Minnesotans to take the time to get to know your military. Please join me in celebrating the service of our troops this Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to talk about veterans homelessness in Minnesota, and we have a trio of guests today, one from MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, one from the Minneapolis VA, and one from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we're going to introduce first Sloan Kessler from the Minneapolis VA. Sloan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what is your position at the Minneapolis VA?
Yeah, so I'm actually a Star of the North Fellow, and my position is as the Assistant Homeless Programs Coordinator.
Yeah, and I made a mistake. Are you with the VA or the MDVA?
I am with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
My fault. Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And then we got Paul Williams with us, who is an Air Force veteran, right?
That's correct, yeah.
You've been in the studio with us before. When did you serve?
That's right. So back from 2006 to 2012 up in Fargo, North Dakota with the 119th Wing.
All right. So, and your position now?
The Homeless Programs Coordinator with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Okay, so we've got two of you from the Minnesota right. Department of Veterans Affairs. We had another guest scheduled that, and they couldn't make it today. And the third one is Bradley Ligrid. And Bradley, you were in the Navy.
That's right. I served 4 years. I did 2 years working for Marine Corps Security Force Battalion. And I was also deployed to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
How bad was Guantanamo?
It's very interesting, I'll say. But, I mean, it was a great experience for me.
I understand once you're on that base, there's no leaving that
base. That's what they say anyway. So
fly in, fly out.
I was there for 15 months. It was long 15 months, but I'm glad I did it.
And you're with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans.
That's correct.
Position there.
I'm the program administrator.
Okay. Now, when I think about veterans homelessness, I think mostly about MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, because you do stand downs all over the state.
That's right.
And they're coming up, aren't they?
Absolutely. Actually, our big one, we just solidified a date in August. And we solidified a venue. So we're going to be doing that at Target Field this year. The date is TBD, but we're thinking around the middle of the month, around the 16th, I'm thinking, off the top of my head. But yeah, we do these, and it's basically just a plethora of services all in one spot so veterans can come and get everything done that day that they need to get done revolving around social services.
But you work with a lot of people, a lot of agencies in the Twin Cities. The Minneapolis VA Hospital works with you.
So we have a lot of partnerships that are vital to reaching our goal with a shared goal of ending veteran homelessness. Now, without these partnerships, it would be really tough for us to do this. They kind of fill in the gaps where we need them. Geographically, we can cover the entire state, because homelessness looks different in rural areas than it does in urban areas. And there's tons of different variables, but in order to do this, we have to heavily rely on our partners.
And Paul, you're with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We got that established. How are we doing on veterans homelessness in Minnesota? I've heard we've done a lot of interviews on this over the years. Seems like it's getting better and better every year.
Yeah, it is. And it continues to get better, but I can tell you that as of today, there's 228 veterans that are experiencing homelessness in Minnesota. And I know that us at the MDVA and our partners feel really strongly that number should be zero. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of good organizations and people working very hard to accomplish that goal.
So we are making progress year over year, and you think we can get to the point where we've got them all housed?
Yeah, and so kind of what we're running into now is just across the state, just very low vacancy rates. So we just don't have a lot of housing options for veterans from the registry. And so there are veterans on the registry, a growing number, in fact, that have a voucher in hand, but just have no available units with which to use. And so we're working on a plan to increase that number, and so we can house some of these veterans from the registry.
So as we heard earlier, there are homeless veterans in the Twin Cities, but there's homeless veterans all over Minnesota. For our listeners out there, if they have apartment buildings, if they have other buildings, how do they contact you? What are you looking for?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now we've got veterans with higher barriers to housing that are on the registry. And if there are any landlords out there that are listening, to contact 1-888-LINK-VET, and let them know that maybe you have units available with which to rent, and contacting MACV is also another.
That's right.
So you can work together and try to get them into that housing.
Exactly.
I'd also say that, you know, when contacting us, I mean, if a veteran is about to be homeless, not necessarily in the state of homelessness yet, but they're about to be evicted, we would encourage anyone just to look on our website and call our office, and we'll run a screening on them, and we can, you know, prevent a lot of episodes of homelessness as well.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking about veterans homelessness in Minnesota. And Sloan, I want to come to you. Can you tell us, what is the Veteran Corps Collaborative?
Absolutely. So the Veteran Corps Collaborative is a combination of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And all three of our organizations are responsible for our goal of ending veteran homelessness in Minnesota. And we have joined together to create this Veteran Corps Collaborative, and we meet monthly. And by doing so, we're able to kind of align our resources and sync all of our efforts in order to meet our really important goal of ending veteran homelessness in Minnesota.
Sure. And are you involved also in the stand downs that the MACV puts on?
Yep. We try as much as possible to get to our stand downs so that our services, especially with the Homeless Veteran Registry, which I know we'll kind of get into in a little bit, is well represented, and we can connect veterans to housing as soon as possible.
And Brad, when you have these stand downs, mm-hmm. you have the big one in Minneapolis, but you have them in several places across the state.
Absolutely.
You bring a lot of resources in there. You bring some legal resources yeah. in there. You bring in some of the doctors and medical people. You
That's right. In, we do haircuts. We do dental work. We do just a plethora of different things from the veterans sector, and also civilian resources that they might not be aware of as well. I think it's just a really great time for somebody to show up, get stuff they need done when it relates to housing, and then you know, not have to go through any hoops or hard difficult loops that people always talk about when talking about veteran services. It's just basically all right there. So
when the veterans come in, if they're homeless or if they're having other issues that might lead to homelessness,
right.
You want to talk to them to stop it before it happens.
Absolutely. And I think for veterans in general, it's really tough to ask for help for anything. I think it's just ingrained in a veteran's brain to you know, be strong and help themselves. But I would argue a real sign of strength is asking for help, especially when you don't think you need it, and then before a catastrophe happens.
Hard for proud veterans to do that.
That's right.
Paul, I've been to these stand downs, and there are just, I don't know, dozens of companies that send in volunteers to help with stand downs with goods and services. As you said, Brad, they can get haircuts, they can get a shave, they can get cleaned up, and they can check their teeth. It's amazing what happens there.
It's great. It's great to see the turnout for those stand downs. Yeah. And, you know, as our role as MDVAs is, it's an opportunity for us to connect them with the Homeless Veteran Registry. So that, you know, if there really is a housing crisis that they're experiencing, that we can kind of help them formulate housing plans and connect them with veteran-specific services through that Homeless Veteran Registry.
It's also an outreach opportunity, too. I mean, we can connect with veterans. If they hear about it and they show up, we want to know about those folks. I mean, it's really difficult to locate a lot of veterans for the reason I just mentioned before. They don't ask for help, so...
Slow and hard for you to get in here when this Navy keeps jumping.
Sorry.
It must be pretty exciting to have the MDVA, the Minneapolis VA, and MACV all working together to try to solve this issue.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and we have such a great partnership between our organizations. It's been really, really impactful to see all of these organizations coming together to really move the ball forward. And together, we're kind of able to identify barriers and brainstorm solutions that otherwise we might not be able to without all of our brains together in one room.
We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about veterans homelessness in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about veterans homelessness in Minnesota. And to that point, the Homeless Veterans Registry works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in a shared goal of providing housing and services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit the registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. And we've been speaking today with Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Bradley LeGrid from MACV. And Sloan, I want to come to you first. We're talking about the Veterans Homeless Registry. And I know that's something that that's a promo that we've been talking about for years on this show. Is it working? Are people calling 1-888-LINK-VET?
Yes, we are seeing that in a way, the Homeless Veteran Registry, the numbers grow, our inflow grows, but our outflow also is continuing to grow. So we're seeing housing outcomes coming directly from the referrals to the Homeless Veteran Registry. So we see LINK-VET gets applications in, and we are adding people to the registry, and we're also getting them housed as quickly as possible.
So, Paul, one of the issues when we were talking about how many homeless veterans there are is one of the issues is to find them and see who needs help.
Yeah, and we rely a lot on our partners that are working with these veterans every day to say, hey, let's get you connected with the Homeless Veteran Registry. And currently we're working with Minnesota IT to create a registry 2.0, which is an improved version of the registry, which will actually capture more data and will help us inform decisions based on that additional data.
Now, Paul, as all of our listeners know, we have a new governor in Minnesota, and Governor Walz has made veterans homelessness a priority. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so really right now there's this unprecedented level of support in Minnesota to end veteran homelessness. The governor has made it clear that this is one of his top priorities, and he wants to be the next state that declares an end to veteran homelessness statewide. And so we have followed his lead and are currently participating in a statewide plan with several state, federal, and local partners to really work with those areas in the state that still have these homeless veterans and kind of figure out where they may need assistance and connect them with the additional resources of this new kind of statewide team of partners. And so, again, we've really placed a lot of emphasis on utilizing quality, reliable data through the Homeless Veteran Registry to kind of identify the areas of need within each region of the state and then help them pursue solutions for those barriers.
Now, Bradley, when we talk about getting a net zero, getting all the veterans off the street and get them a door and get them behind the doors, there's two parts of that in my view. Number one is find them, get them housed. And number two is catch them before they fall to the bottom so that they don't become homeless.
That's right. So the approach you're talking about is basically rapidly rehousing someone from the street or from their car or from a shelter or from wherever they are where they're experiencing homelessness and get them housing. But then the other side of that is, you know, if they're facing eviction or they're dealing with a crisis that they need to provide immediate attention to, but they get this eviction notice because they can't afford their rent, we want to help those people as well. It affects not only is it the morally right thing to do, but I mean, it affects our numbers, and we're trying to get to functional zero. And in order to do that, we have to control the outflow and the inflow. And that's kind of how we figure out and reduce the number of people that are in that inflow category.
So Sloan, when we're trying to find veterans in trouble before they become homeless, if they've got a legal problem that's causing heck with their budget, if they've got a medical problem, if they've got some kind of PTSD problem, we want to talk to them early as well and save them from losing their housing.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to focus a bit on the prevention part of veterans that are experiencing homelessness, and MACV does a really good job of their prevention efforts. And as soon as we can get someone connected, you know, whether they're experiencing one of those things that you're talking about, you know, if they've got something that's really kind of bringing them to the cusp of homelessness. If they're at risk, we want to make sure that, you know, if we're aware of any situation like that through MDVA, through registry, that we're connecting them immediately with MACV prevention resources.
So for our listeners out there, if they know of a veteran that's having some kind of a problem, whether they lost a job, they've got a medical problem, they maybe have PTSD, where do they call? How do we connect them with help?
Yeah, so the best way to connect a veteran with any of our services, especially through the registry, is to call the number of the LinkVet line, and that's 1-888-LINKVET or 1-888-546-5838. And that LinkVet line is staffed 7 days a week, and you'll be able to speak with a live person who will be able to connect the veteran to the available services.
And Paul, the other side of that is if we've got we've got a lot of great corporations in Minnesota. If those corporations want to help, maybe help with the stand downs, maybe they've got some housing, maybe they've got some products they can help our veterans that are suffering with. How do they connect with you?
Yeah, and really the benefit of this Veteran Corps Collaborative is that you can connect with any one of those three, and we'll make sure to get the information to who is best fitted to kind of receive that. So contacting Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans or the Minneapolis Community Resource and Referral Center or Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is all good options.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking about veterans homelessness in Minnesota today. And Bradley, I want to come to you. What are you looking for? Do you need volunteers? Do you need housing? Do you need products?
Housing. We definitely need housing.
Housing.
I mean, the vacancy rate in Minneapolis, the last time I looked, it was 1.2%. And by national standard, that's extremely low. I mean, a lot of the time it's finding affordable housing. And a lot of the clients we work with are on a fixed income, or they come from the Vietnam era. And when they, you know, when they left Vietnam, they were kind of neglected. Let's just be honest here.
You're looking at me when you're saying that?
Well, you did mention you were a Vietnam vet, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
I do have a house that I own, and I'm in good shape.
All right.
Don't put me on the
it's
register.
Good to hear.
But if that changes, Tom,
you know exactly where to go.
Good.
No, but I would say that's the biggest need for everyone. And that's not just for you know, homeless veterans. That's for homeless population in general. And as soon as we can, you know, find out and get that data that Paul talked about and, you know, push that to people who could possibly provide that housing, I think that's when we'll get a lot closer to our goal.
So Paul, just being realistic here, I know that there are some veterans my age, Vietnam veterans, that are having some issues that, and a lot of it might be related to flashbacks to Vietnam, and the VA hospital knows how to help with those problems. But veteran homelessness crosses all ages and all different kind of veterans, doesn't it?
It does. And, every case is different, and that's why we've kind of developed this very individualized veteran by veteran approach when we come up with these housing plans in the registry meetings that happen every other week. And so, you know, the goal in those meetings is to really, you know, bring up each veteran, give them 2 to 3 to 5, however long it takes, to kind of discuss their situation, where are we at with finding them housing. What things are we running into, and who at the table of partners can kind of help mitigate some of those problems so that we can get that veteran housed as quickly as possible.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, and Sloan, I'm going to give you the last minute for final thoughts. So Navy, you're up. You've got about a minute.
All right.
Is there anything else you want veterans listening to know?
I just want them to know that if they're struggling, to reach out for help. I mean, it's really difficult for, again, like I said, for a veteran to do so, but a lot of the time the camaraderie is lost when they leave the service, and regaining that camaraderie is super important to their well-being, but also the pull up your bootstraps mentality is kind of, we shouldn't have that mentality after we get out. And if the sooner they ask for help, the more apt we'll be able to help them, and the closer we'll be to our goal.
And they should know that in all of these organizations, there's plenty of veterans, fellow veterans there, ready, willing, and able to help.
Absolutely. So, there's so many different types of people that are just waiting to help veterans. And I really admire my colleagues here and all of our partners from the County Veteran Service Offices to the big VA. Their passion for helping people and veterans is wonderful.
Very good. Sloan, I promised you a minute. You got a little less than that because Navy went
off. Yeah.
Final thoughts on veterans homelessness in Minnesota.
Yeah, we're following Governor Walz's lead here, and we want to be the next state to declare an end to veteran homelessness. So if there are any thoughts, please contact 1-888-LINKVET.
And this goes for the families of veterans. If you see a veteran that's struggling, call 1-888-LINK-VET. There's resources available. We know how to help. The VA knows how to help. You have a lot of partners in this to help our veterans.
Absolutely. We're here to help.
I want to thank all of you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
That was Paul Williams and Sloan Kessler from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Bradley LeGrid from MACV. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get our Red Bull update from Kuwait. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get a Red Bull update from Kuwait. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
America's men and women in uniform perform their duties with the utmost dignity, honor, and professionalism. Durable and sustainable peace is only possible by the efforts of their armed forces, both past and present, and their families. Our armed forces are also parents, spouses, partners, sons, and daughters. Members of the armed forces are forging a better future for our nation and the world. The freedoms we enjoy today would not be possible without their bravery, pride, courage, and sacrifice. I thank our armed forces for keeping America strong and secure. I wish all of our listeners a happy Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Soldiers of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division are currently deployed to the Middle East as Task Force Spartan, providing capabilities such as aviation, logistics, force protection, and information management, and facilities and theater security cooperation activities such as key leader engagements, joint exercises, conferences, symposia, and humanitarian assistance, as well as disaster response planning. And today we're going to talk to Second Lieutenant Eric Holland, who is the executive officer of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division's headquarters support company. Lieutenant Holland, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Lieutenant, can you tell us how many people are in your company and what is your mission?
Well, right now we have 106 soldiers in the headquarters support company, and our mission is pretty broad. We are basically responsible for a little bit of everything. Our philosophy and our company slogan is support the attack, and that's basically what we do. We have culinary specialists that make sure that the defects, which is what the Army calls the dining facilities, are up to the standard and providing good quality food. We have our largest section, which is the maintenance section, which basically does repairs, services, all that fun stuff on vehicles, not only for our company, but the four other companies that are deployed with us, as well as the vehicles that are here permanently. They don't go with us. We have medics, we have finance, we have an air defense team that's in charge of manning the Sentinel radars, which is a basically air defense, you know, fighting the good fight. And we have staff that work together with other staffs from other company and make sure that everybody's able to perform their mission. We do a little bit of everything.
Lieutenant, sounds like you have to be ready for darn near anything over there. And while you were there, shortly after you got there, you experienced some flooding in the desert.
That was a experience, I will tell you that. It was, in a weird way, kind of fun. Obviously, no one got hurt. There were no injuries, so we're thankful for that. When we woke up one morning, we just noticed that after a heavy rain, there was 2 inches of water, at least sitting in our barracks. And once we were done making jokes about basically the situation we were in, everybody pulled together, started sandbagging stuff, and got everything ready to go.
So all the training that our Red Bull soldiers have had up in Fargo over the years fighting floods came to put to good use over in Kuwait.
Yeah, we threw some sandbags together. We redirected some rivers. It was actually nice because a couple months later, it rained again, and we were able to see that the water went where it was supposed to go. So we weren't sure if we'd ever get to see if our work was done correctly, but it was. So that was really nice.
Well, I'm glad the second one was easier than the first one. I don't think I'd want to wake up in the morning, get out of bed, and be standing in 2 inches of water. That'd be kind of a problem.
Well, you see a couple flip-flops floating down between the beds, and it's fun. It's a good sight to wake up to.
Lieutenant, we've heard that our American soldiers have to make themselves comfortable in any place they're at, whether they're in the jungles of Vietnam, in the deserts over there in Kuwait. When I visited a couple of times, I saw coffee shops, I saw air conditioning. Your soldiers are pretty good at making themselves at home wherever and under whatever circumstances.
Well, thankfully, the Starbucks is open 24 hours a day, so there's some creature comforts for everybody, no matter what shift they work, and that usually brings people's morale up, either in the morning or the evening. There's the usual rearranging of your barracks to make it more like home. I mean, it's pretty nice, I would say.
Very good, sir. We'd like to talk now to Sergeant Timothy Eichers, who's the company master driver for the headquarters support company. Sergeant Eichers, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate being here.
I understand your full-time position when you're not deployed is up at Camp Ripley.
Yes, it is, Tom. I'm a maintenance technician working up there.
And I think when you get back up there, you're going to have to help get ready for NTC. We've got some people going out there when you come back, so I've heard they need you.
Yeah, I know that there's going to be a bunch of new faces when I get there because of a bunch of new hires we've had, just to try and stay ahead of the curve, trying to get people on and, try and make it so we're not as swamped when I get back.
Sergeant Eichers, I understand your hometown is St. Cloud?
Yes, it is, Tom. I grew up in the St. Cloud area. My parents live in Clearwater, Minnesota. I went to school in Annandale, and then I've just kind of homesteaded right now with my wife and 5-year-old daughter in St. Cloud, kind of a central location for family support.
So did it take you a little while to figure out how to communicate with your wife and child?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty easy because my wife, she's very understanding and laid back. And I know there's a lot of people here right now that they talk to each other every morning and stuff like that. And in a day-to-day basis, I don't have all that much to talk about. So I'm really happy my wife, she's content with one day a week, just, a couple-hour conversation. Because if it was every morning, she'd look at me and go, okay, what why are we talking for like 5 minutes? It doesn't make sense. So,
well, be prepared. Your to-do list when you get home is probably getting pretty long.
Right? For sure.
Is Corporal Nundahl right there?
Yes, I am.
Corporal, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
I understand you're a culinary specialist. Can you tell us what that means on this deployment?
On this deployment, we do a much different job than back at home. We have contractors for everything, so we just ensure that they are the ones cooking and cleaning and keeping up with the maintenance in the dining facilities. We make sure that they're taking temperatures and precautions, making sure that the food is safe and kept at proper temperatures to prevent foodborne illnesses from breaking out.
So what you're telling us is in the DFAC or the dining facility there, there's independent contractors that run it and do the work, and that you're over there kind of supervising and making sure that everything is done properly so that all the food that our soldiers get is cooked and handled correctly.
Yes.
Very good. Now, you're from New Brighton?
Correct.
And how are you doing staying in touch with your family?
Really good. I talk to my family a couple days throughout the week. We actually have a family group Snapchat, so that keeps everybody up to date on what we're doing without having too lengthy of conversations, and it's not super dependent on the time difference, so it's pretty easy for me to wake up in the morning and say, oh, this is what my family did last night, and we stay pretty good in touch.
So do you get into a pretty good daily routine while you're on deployment?
Yeah, so for the culinary specialists, we actually rotate our schedules every month. So there's a morning shift and an evening shift. When I'm on the evening shift, I typically will sleep in during the day, and then after work is when I work out, do PT and laundry and what I need to do. When I'm on the morning shift, I'll go to work first, then I do what I need to do, then PT, and then bed. So it's kind of backwards depending on my schedule.
But you know what to expect from day to day, and you get into a good rhythm.
Yeah.
Lieutenant, I want to come back to you. We just got about a minute before we have to take a break here. How are your 106 troops? Are they in pretty good shape? Are they getting into that daily rhythm? Are they doing well?
Yes, they are. I would say that everybody's in pretty good spirits. It's nice that we're so close to being able to redeploy back to this, to go back to the States. There's the packing of our equipment to get out of here, which always makes everybody happy.
And I suppose you're in the part of the deployment now where the advanced teams for the next unit are coming in, and you have to show them what type of work they need to do when they arrive.
We haven't had anybody show up yet. We kind of know how we're going to do it, but right now we've only been communicating during via email.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit with another one of your soldiers. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to some soldiers of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, who are currently deployed to the Middle East as Task Force Spartan. And specifically, we've got some folks from Lieutenant Eric Hollins' company. He's the executive officer of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division's Headquarters Support Company. Lieutenant, I understand all your soldiers are in pretty good shape and starting to get pretty excited about coming home soon.
Yeah, that is what motivates everyone in the morning nowadays. We're finally to the point where we've put in all the hours, we've done all the work, we've gotten so close to completing the mission, and now everybody's excited to come home and see their family.
Sir, I understand when you're not deployed, you live in Fargo. Have you been had any trouble staying and getting in contact with your family?
No, thankfully technology makes that pretty easy nowadays. I mean, there's phone plans that let you do it pretty cheap. Skype's a thing. Everybody here uses WhatsApp, which is what I recommend everybody use. It's a really great way to communicate with your family back home. Everybody seems to be able to talk whenever they want to, so it's super convenient. I can only imagine in the past how much more difficult it was.
Well, if you can think back to Vietnam, it was the postal U.S. Postal Service and letters and cards and no phone calls, no internet. None of those things, so it was a little different. And I'm not so sure it wasn't better then, because we didn't know about all the little things that could go wrong on a day-to-day basis. But technology has changed things, hasn't it, Lieutenant?
Yeah, I'm just surprised you guys didn't have Amazon Prime. How did you get stuff?
No one had even thought of that, Lieutenant, so that makes me old, but that's okay. It worked out. We'd like to speak now with another one of your soldiers, a Specialist Ariel Garrigary. Specialist, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I understand you're a supply specialist. Can you tell us what your job is?
It's everything related to supply. I will write orders for personnel that need equipment, or So I'll write orders for people that need equipment. I keep track of all the equipment that's going out to personnel and what each company owns. I also write a lot of presentations and PowerPoints for my boss, my OIC, my lieutenant. I will write PowerPoints for him and just do whatever he asks me to do, basically.
Well, every good lieutenant needs a good soldier to help him with things, and so he looks good on all his presentations, so thank you. I understand you grew up in Minneapolis and graduated from De La Salle High School.
Yep, that's correct.
And we've talked to a lot of soldiers over the year about getting into a rhythm, getting into a pattern, and my briefing papers tell me that you spend some time lifting and working out.
Yeah, I do it quite often, every day after work.
And have you set some records in powerlifting?
Yeah, I have set records on the deadlift, squat, and my total, so the bench press, deadlift, and squat combined.
So you've gotten yourself in pretty good shape during this deployment.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And how about your communication? Have you been able to communicate well with your parents?
Yeah, we try to stay in contact. Once a week, we'll call. We text a lot, though. I have a Facebook group with my parents, and we call often whenever there's time. we're usually busy and our schedules kind of don't match up. So sometimes we're not able to call as often as we want, but usually it's once a week and it's decent. It's good.
So you've been able to stay kind of up to date on things going on back here.
Yep, that's right.
Very good. Thank you, Specialist Lieutenant. I want to come back to you. We've got about a minute left. Sounds like your soldiers are in pretty good shape. Everybody's getting excited about coming home, and the worst part of the deployment is behind you.
Well, I mean, it's always dangerous to say that type of statement because you never know what the future holds, but definitely the majority of the time has passed, so that's always good. Everybody's, like I said, getting ready, getting their stuff ready to go, so that brings some excitement.
Well, Lieutenant, I hope the rest of the deployment goes well for you and that you don't face any more floods. Can't say that about sandstorms because they'll come up anytime. But I want to thank you and your soldiers for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Those were members of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division's Headquarters Support Company on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, who is the Brown County Veteran Service Officer and the new president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Greg, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. Glad to be here.
Congratulations on your new position as president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and great to have you on the show. I want to just give our listeners a little background. You served many years in the United States Air Force.
That's right. I was in 23 and a half years in the Air Force. I was a loadmaster flying on the C-141 and the C-17 transport planes.
Very good. And how long have you been a County Veteran Service Officer?
I've been a service officer 15 years. I've been in this position for 15 and was appointed 6 months after my discharge from the Air Force.
Brown County, what part of the state is that in?
Oh, we'd call it the south central part of the state. If I tell friends from out of state, look at the river, the Minnesota River comes all the way down, and then it bends and goes back up towards Minneapolis. We're kind of down in that pocket in there. New Ulm is our county seat where we have many things. We have Kraft and 3M. Shell's Brewery is down here.
And how are our veterans in that part of Minnesota?
How are they?
Yeah, are you taking good care of them?
They're well cared for. They of course have a great service officer, but they're also very proud. We have an armory here in town. We're preparing right now for our Memorial Day program, which will have a parade and lots of events.
Very good. Now there's a county veteran service officer, at least one in every county in Minnesota. And so for our veterans listening out there, if you have any issues related to your time in service to our country, you need to find your DD-214, your discharge, and go visit your county veteran service officer.
Yeah, that's right. And the reason there's at least one in every county is because just prior to the end of World War II, the state of Minnesota recognized that millions of service members were going to be coming back. And they actually enacted a law that directs each county to hire at least one. Many counties have more than one. I have an assistant service officer with me, and big counties in the metro have a dozen service officers on their staff.
So what's the easiest way to find out the closest veteran service officer for our listeners?
The best way is to look on the internet at www.macvso.org. Stands for Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. It's a brand new website that we launched this year. We have you got to know what county you live in, you can find them that way.
But our veterans can actually go to any of the county veteran service officers that they think are convenient.
That's right, yep.
And even if they can't find their discharge certificate, you can help them do that too?
Oh yeah, oftentimes we can. We have a state database, a couple of different places that we look for discharges, and usually we can get them in our hands within about 30 minutes. Sometimes if we can't, we'll go out to a National Archives resource. It might take a couple of weeks to get them, but it's still not that bad.
So even if our veterans don't have an issue right now, if they can find their discharge certificate, go meet their county veteran service officer, then if they or their families need help in the future, they're registered.
Well, you're right, and it's so very important. I'd say four times a year we have it here where we'll have a death. And we don't have their DD-214, and we can't give a flag to the family without a DD-214. So don't think about, I'll do it in the future when I feel like it. We need it now.
Very good. So that's the word of the day. Go visit your county veteran service officer. Greg, we're out of time. Looking forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tom.
That was Greg Peterson, the Brown County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We have two mentions today. First, the 6th Annual Brost Clinic Memorial Day Challenge has a new home this year in Wayzata. Athletes will complete the MRF workout, which includes a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, followed by another 1 mile run. It's named after Navy SEAL Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who was killed while serving in Afghanistan in 2004. And last Memorial Day, flags for Fort Snelling lost a staggering 60,000 flags to weather and mishandling. But they have an exciting new sustainable, retractable flagstaff designed to cut annual flag loss to virtually zero. Learn more and be part of the solution by donating at flagsforfortsnelling.com or call 763-296-FLAG. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Paul Williams, Sloan Kessler, Bradley LeGrid, our Red Bull soldiers in Kuwait, Greg Peterson, the Minnesota County Veteran Service Organization, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.